those days are over for me. So, but we're thankful to have Brother Sam here with us. We look forward to his message. The honor to be here, as always. It's my home church at one time. Yeah, don't just take your time. And I thank you for the opportunity. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 5. I'll read verse 10 through 12. Before I do that, I want to draw upon your imagination. And I hope and pray this never happens. But I thought when my beautiful niece, Livy, of which I am her favorite uncle, when I heard the door open and watched her come in, imagine we are having church service. We have finished the singing. The pastor has begun to preach and read his text. And all of a sudden that door swings open. And in comes armed soldiers. They tell us that there has been an edict go out from the president of the United States of America, that Christians are no longer allowed to assemble together, and that we have two choices. We can break up, we can leave peacefully, but as we leave, we must deny Jesus Christ. If you refuse to deny Jesus Christ, you will be executed. To add fuel to his threat, it tells us that he will begin with the youngest, and work his way up. The children, they will be the first to die. Now, my brother Marvin, I know he is carrying. He is going to be a hero. So he draws his weapon, and he is shot down in the face of all of us. So now we know it's serious. We know we are in the midst of severe persecution. I hope and I pray to God it never happens, but do not think for a moment that it can't. There are people and Christians all over the world, and please don't be harsh on them and judge them, because they don't believe just like us, but they are giving their life for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. What would you do? What would you do? Would you walk out and say, I denounce Jesus? Or would you stay in here and die? What about the first child that is killed? What would you do? Matthew 5, verse 10 through 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted. Now that's strange. That's strange. That word blessed can mean happy. How can somebody be happy when they are undergoing severe and painful persecution? And then it says, for righteousness' sake. I tell you, we have a lot of whiners in this world. We have those pro athletes who consider themselves persecuted because they can't live on $12 billion a year. They're not getting what they deserve. But if you're ever going to be persecuted, make it for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Make sure if somebody says something evil about you that it's a lie. And make sure that it is for Jesus Christ's sake. Rejoice. Be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And I'm not going to say that the main reason that we should endure persecution is for rewards. I'm going to say it should be because we love Jesus Christ. And because we have a desire to do the right thing. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, one of two things I believe are inevitable to happen very soon. One, Jesus Christ may come soon. The second, if he does not, Christians are headed for severe persecution. This should move us to do three things. It should move us to pray. Even so, come quickly. Or pray, God, if persecution comes, give me the backbone, give me the love for the Lamb of God, that I will endure that persecution. It should move us to prepare. I'll tell you something. Persecution comes to the church, there's going to be some lost people go. So make sure you are ready to meet God. Prepare to meet thy God. Because one thing we all have in common, we're all going to meet God. Either as one of his children, or one who will be cast into the flames of hell. And thirdly, it should move us to preach. Preach about the return of Jesus Christ. Warn sinners to flee from the wrath to come. Preach about the necessities of drawing nigh unto God, that we can endure persecution. It is never a bad thing to suffer for the cause of Christ, the purpose of Christ and the person of Christ. 2 Corinthians 12:10, the Bible says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. And I am of the opinion that these are not Paul's natural sicknesses, but it refers to infirmities that are put upon him by his persecutors. In reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, if I heard anybody say that, and I did not know the history of the Apostle Paul, I would doubt his word. We read much about those of the past who love Jesus Christ so much. And don't ever try to talk about bravery. It was love that they gladly suffered for his name even unto death. If you've never read Fox's Book of Martyrs or Martyr's Mirrors, Trail of Blood, read them. Our souls rejoice in their bravery and in their example. But you know what we don't read much about? There's no Fox's Book of Cowards. We don't read about those people. We don't read about those who, rather than die for the cause of Christ, they denied him. Didn't Peter do that? Now, thank God he later on gave his life for Christ. But remember, when his life was on the line and he feared persecution, I don't even know him. I'm cursed. How many of us are stronger than Peter? It takes a supernatural working of God in the life of the believer to enable us to endure persecution. Many of those who chose life over death, chose pleasure over pain, and safety over suffering. Which book would you be in? The Book of Martyrs or the Book of Cowards? Three things we notice. Persecution presented or defined. The powers of persecution. And lastly, the powerlessness of persecution. Persecution defined. It is a program or a campaign to exterminate. And that has been the attempt of the enemies of Christ for a long, long time to exterminate Christianity. But they couldn't do it. Amen. Whether God's people met in caves, in homes, wherever, they couldn't do it. They tried to exterminate God's word. They couldn't do it. They've tried to exterminate the church. They couldn't do it. Because God has the power to exterminate, to drive away, to subjugate. You know what that means? To bring under authority. You don't think the government of America wants to bring churches under authority? You don't think they want to control us? You don't think they remember the mayor of Houston, because she didn't like a sermon that somebody wrote or preached on the radio about her homosexuality, demanded that he had to give her all of his sermon outlines before he preached. So my goodness. Fortunately, there was such an outcry that it never happened. But it might someday. I'll tell you, this government desires to control Christianity. They desire to tell us what we can preach. I am shocked that I have not been kicked off Facebook live stream. Because I preach about everything that they hate and that they just can't stand to hear about the homosexuals and all of that. I'm surprised. But sooner or later, it's already considered hate speech. You preach about those things, it is considered hate speech to subjugate people based on them claiming to be Christians and their religious belief. Christianity has been full of persecution since Cain rose up and slew Abel. We live in perhaps the least persecuted time ever in the history of Christianity. I fear we're not as thankful for that as we should be. We should thank God every time we cut. God, thank you. I live in a nation where still I can assemble and worship God in spirit and in truth without fear of those soldiers coming through those doors. Now, there are three kinds of persecution I want to mention. First of all, there is verbal persecution. People speaking vile and evil about you. Most preachers in your life, you will suffer verbal persecution. It may be from your own church or disgruntled members or excluded members, but you'll suffer verbal persecution. Years ago, very, very dear preacher friend of many of us was working. A lying accusation was made against him. He was arrested. He was put in jail. He had to go to trial. Can you imagine what all of his enemies thought? Oh, yeah, that he wasn't what he said he was. People will believe a lie about you. They will. And yet, under cross-examination, the person that verbally persecuted him admitted they lied, and the courtroom shouted and erupted in joy. I think about a young lady who was working a job and she didn't allow somebody to do something they wanted to do. So they made up a vicious lie. Suspended with pay. Investigation. Lie detector test. Then the individual admitted that they lied. That's verbal persecution. I remember a time, and I'm involved personally in this. We were baptized and organized into a church. A group of people at a preacher's house that night said that we baptized in a swimming pool where their church would have to watch it take place. That was a lie, and it was verbal persecution. 5 years later, a man says to my dad, well, Brother Joe, I agree with what you said. I don't agree. Arminian Baptist is wrong. It must be church authority. But you shouldn't have baptized in that pool. And Daddy had no idea what he's talking about. So he is verbally persecuted. And then you're persecuted by the person who believed that lie without checking it out. The sad thing is verbal persecution is oftentimes done by other Christians. And sometimes done by the flock, by those in the church. Gossip, backbiting, talebearing are all verbal persecution. And it is a disgrace and a terrible sin. Secondly, there is visible persecution, such as being arrested. Andy, you may be someday for preaching on the streets, but preach on, brother. My church will help bail you out. I remember seeing when I was a child, and where they used to preach down. I remember seeing a preacher arrested. Canada. it happened. I'm sure other people don't hear of arrested. That's visible persecution. Being put in the stocks where they walk by ridicule upon the racks and you are made a spectacle of. And then there is violent persecution. I mean a violence that is filled with hatred that lives in us. Let us notice persecution. This point is mainly to help us understand the strength that we might need in order to survive persecution. It will not be light. Light oftentimes is other people have, but you don't. You know, it's like surgery. My surgery is worse in the world. My pain is worse in the world. They have, first of all, they have the power to imprison you the rest of your life. My Christ. Isn't that what they did to Bunyan? Tell John Bunyan that if you will agree to jail, if you will agree not to the streets, you can. But Bunyan side, I'll preach tomorrow. That's boldness. Or you could have your eyes gouged out of God just recently, where they took hot pokers and guides to gouge one's eye out because they were reading the book. Remember years ago, the picture I cut and sliced the ribbons they're carrying Bible. Or favorite things they like to is them body. Can drive them streets. They're made a mockery of. That's what, that's the power. Or tied. In time they strip skin. They're Christ and we'll stop. You do. Or millstone, tie around your children. Hey, deny Christ. But if you don't, they cast thee, or they're drowned. Burn slowly to death. Carpet, 86 years old, told Polycarp to die. If you will deny Jesus Christ, we'll let you go. Polycarp said, 80 years, my Lord has not denied me, I'll deny Christ. And he wants to be with Jesus Christ. Yeah. Devoured by lions. He spared death. But there have been thousands of animals in the midst of a Colosseum and pagans cheating. Lead off. Off an arm, deny Jesus, no. Cut the other arm, deny Jesus, no. Or they brought parents to stay here. And they said, if you'll deny, if not, roll over and we're going to. Those two, don't you dare. Don't. Let us die. Don't deny Christ. That's the power of persecution. Or you could be raped. And your children raped. Boiled in oil to a slow death. And I go on and on about the powers of persecution. It's full of persecutions. Physical things that talk about power. But you people, physical and with things. People have gone crazy over these, except me. Bloods are full, and nothing wrong with that. But these bodies will end up corrupting. Now, let me mention three things we know about this. First of all, we think about our persecution, it again makes us thankful. God, I don't have to undergo that. And God, I thank you that I'm not being irreligious, but we are compelled of witnesses who have suffered before us. An example of the power of God in the life of people. Secondly, it should make us curious. For the Bible says, all who live godly in Christ. Wait a minute. I'm suffering. Why do I go free? What's wrong with me? Am I living right? Examine our life. Nobody hates me. Nobody turns against me. I don't have any enemies. History of all. Have been that people hated them. Their stand for Christ. And thirdly, it should cause us to prepare our hearts. There are many Christians persecuted today. Let me mention as I close, or to test. It does. you know, how faithful are you? Well, I go to church 3 times a week. How faithful are you to God? Well, will you be life? And the life only depends on it. It has the power to test your love for God. That's what it's all about. It has the power to test your resolve. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. I'm not going to be, are you resolved that whatever comes, I'm going to endure it. It has the power to prove you as faithful or unfaithful. It has the power to make you an example of success or failure. One of the greatest of God's word was a man named Stephen. Oh my goodness. How many sermons could you preach on Stephen? Because you know what? He died like Jesus, the example. But I'm just of the opinion, God used a dead heart of one solitude. So whatever he has, I don't have it. How can somebody die so easily for somebody I can't see that I don't believe in? An example of faith. Now the powerless of persecution. But only if we allow it to. The great, as I mentioned, the great testimony of those who endured and suffered. Fourth of that, persecution has no power. Well, persecution is powerless to destroy my life. Can't. Love was given to me as a gift of God. I love him because I was something special. I loved him. Amen. And he enabled me. He enabled this old poor sinner. Loved himself far more than he ever should have. Enabled me to love Jesus. Persecution can't take that away from me. It may dim it. It calls it to look bad. As you do love Jesus Christ. One time, I wonder if anybody can be saved and not love Christ. Don't wonder anymore. For if any man love not the Lord, let Anathema, Maranatha, curse the day of the Lord. I've mentioned sometime they're talking to someone about running out their saved. I said, do you love Jesus? Well, I know. I said, how do you not? Do you love your children? Oh, yeah. You love Jesus Christ. I thought about almost saying it, but I'm not going to. He gave his life for me. What hast thou given for me? Whatever. For Christ. How can I not love him? When he sailed from me that I deserve. But he loved me enough to die on the cross for my sins. How can I not rejoice? God, thank you. That I'm counted worthy as the disciples. I'm counted worthy to suffer for your name's sake. For our love for the Lord. We read a story of three sisters. And they had built with faggots. I hate to even use that word, but that's what to refer to people on. And they tied these three sisters to the fire. And they told them, said, if you three sisters, if you'll deny Jesus Christ, no, sir. And what they began doing was singing praises to Christ. This made them more angry. So they began to tell me, we'll let you go. No, they continue to sing praises to Christ. As they lit the fire, and at near death, they kept those voices up, singing praises to Christ. How would it be today? Also read a story. It was a vision. And there were 21 Christian men. And this general hated Christians. Put soldiers into the middle of a frozen, near frozen pond, cold. He said, you keep them there all night till one of them denies. And they were there shivering. They'd pray. And they'd sing. The last thing the general said is, when I return, I better see one dead people out there. After midnight, one of the men came walking, said, I denounced Christ. One of the soldiers. So moved, these people's willingness stripped off. There were 21 people dead for the cause of. That's loving Jesus. That's loving Jesus Christ. What was it? Change his mind. Gave him a love for Jesus. There are stories upon stories. Second, only is it power, it is Maybe this should have come first. It is Christ's love for me. Whether I succeed or fail, he's still going to love me. Because he loved me with an everlasting love. And nothing, nothing can separate me from the love that's in Christ. Nothing.
Amen.
So if persecution comes, I may as well. Don't you dare say, well, he's going to love me anyway, so what difference does it make? You don't have a good comprehension of the love of God. And I ask you this afternoon, do you know that Jesus loves you? You're also saying, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible. Say that to Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Holy Spirit tells me so. A lot of people sing that song who would never know the love of God. Thirdly, it is powerless to destroy my soul. It might destroy, kill, maim, scar my body. It might blind me. It might make me helpless and hopeless. It might make me a vegetable. But it can't touch my soul. Can't touch it. I'm in the hands of the Father. None can pluck me out. None can pluck me out. I recognize that I'm the embalming, but the body might decay. My soul. Forever. We give way, way too much thought to the body and way too little to the soul. One of the biggest failure parents, they are concerned about their academics. The soul will dwell eternally. Where will yours be? And then fourth and last is powerless to. Because my faith from God, gifts and callings from God are without repentance. I'm always, though my faith is going to have faith in God. Faith is the victory from the world. So when persecuted, have to believe in God. So I have to believe in the passion of God. That he loves me and that he knows what. When Joe was in high school, he wanted a motorcycle. Daddy, you don't love me. You won't let me have a motorcycle. That sounds just like him. And my dad, Joe goes over to the cemetery to ride in that cemetery. He hit a stone and went over the top. They said, this time you're on top of it, next time you'll be under it. Daddy knew what was best. My child, my grandchild, come over. Hey, let me play with this butcher knife. I'm not going to let him. He can cry ever. God knows, loves me so much. Secondly, believe in the almighty, omnipotent God. He has all power. He's always present, even the person. Thirdly, believe in God. Never for death or to let you die. And to make your death sweet. When my opened his eyes. He said, he smiled. She said, Jane, Jesus. They smiled. God. And went, Jesus. Power of God. I watched someone. I wasn't positive about her salvation until I saw her die. What a peace she had. Power of God and the presence of God. No matter what you got, God will be there with you. Oh, King said, didn't we throw three people in that furnace? Four. The Son of God. God was them. And then the performances of God. Believe in the preparations of God. Let me mention these two things and go to another. Believe in the power in to God. How long, you know, he had a habit of prayer when he was in that lion's den, his praying. And it goes to many of the prayer lies. And then precepts of God. Nobody will stand. But it's not for me. They just won't. We have that faith. Well, help us use all the resources that he has given us to be the child of God that we ought to be. Either Jesus is coming or persecution is coming. God prepare. But come what may. If it comes or not, Jesus is doing it. Thank you for your time.
Thank the Lord for giving us and equipping us during this session to help deal with the persecution. Because as our brother said, Jesus shall suffer persecution. Good to know persecution can only go so far as God's hand would determine. And he's working all things together. Thank you for your attention and for your being with us. We would like to go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer and ask for the blessing on the food. And we want to ask Brother Paul if you could lead us in a word of prayer.
Our Father in heaven, here this day, we thank you, dear, for the blessed of the church, yes, all the visitors. Thank you, dear Father, for this opportunity to free the fear of immediate persecution. We thank you for the things that have been said and done here.
Yes.
Messages and the messengers for the word of God.
Yes.
Use this physically, and thank you for the food at this time. We pray you bless that food for our body. Use us to thy glory. Be with all the churches that are represented here. Be with us in this nation. Help us to stand bold and contend for the truth.
Yes.
In the faith. And we ask your Father that you give us grace for our needs that comes upon us. To excel in your son of the Holy Spirit. Forgive us for our failures. We pray that you bless us. Some of us travel home and be with those others that go to new churches.
Yes.
Bless them, those services.
Yes.
We ask all these things.
Amen.